Me over there with my out-of-tune guitar. Probably should have tuned that before we sang. I remember one of the first missions conference that we attended. Haley convinced me to sing with her, even though I protested much. No, I don't want to sing. I can't sing. I don't want to sing. She convinced me to sing with her. So I did, and we did a special there. And after the service, you know, you usually stand in the lobby, in the entryway, shake hands, and people would come by and pay compliments, except they paid all the compliments to Haley. And this one specific girl came up and she said, "Man, your wife has a beautiful voice, but you, brother, you should stick to playing the guitar." And so ever since then, I'm like, okay, I told you. I'll sing in the congregation, though. Not with her voice. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Man, I remember this other conference I was at. You know, I like to get up and I'm not a great preacher and I'm not a very polished speaker. And I said those words. I'm not a very polished speaker. And the preacher started to laugh. And I'm like, well, I didn't mean to crack a joke there. Why is the preacher laughing? And he leaned over to the other missionary and whispered something, and then he started laughing. And so after the service, I went up to them and said, "Hey, man, what were you guys laughing about? I mean, what did I say that was so funny?" He said, "Well, brother, you said you're not a polished speaker. When's the last time you had a look at your head? You're one of the most polished speakers I've ever seen. And the more nervous I get, the more polished I am." But that's about it, though. If you're there, Matthew 5, would you please stand with me for the reading of the Word of God? It says here in verses 14 through 16, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your holy word. And Lord, I thank you so much for being the great light to us and for giving us that light. Lord, I pray tonight that if anyone does not know you as their Lord and personal Savior, that tonight will be the night that they accept you and have light in their life. Father, may you anoint me now to preach your word. And may you be glorified and honored in everything that is said and done here now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. In a world full of spiritual darkness, light is essential. Yeah. In a world growing colder toward God, our light must burn hotter. And Jesus said here, "Ye are the light of the world." Let me tell you about a night I'll never forget. I think it's awesome you guys had you honored your first responders here this last Sunday. I used to be a police officer. I've been in law enforcement for about 10 years. And I remember one night I was on patrol, and it was a very cold and a very dark night. You know, kind of like your typical horror movie or nightmare movie. It was a cold, dark night. It really was. Very cold, very dark night. And it was about nearing 2 in the morning. And I was getting ready to call off and to go home and get some rest after a long shift, all right, 10-hour shift. And when all of a sudden the radio chatter started, "Shh, attention all units, we have a pursuit coming through your city requesting backup." Now, in the city that I worked for, Nixa, we have a pursuit policy. Every agency has a pursuit policy, and that dictates what you can pursue for and what you can't pursue for. So you can't just turn on lights and sirens and run after someone because, you know, they maybe flipped you the bird or something like that. Or it has to be something. And so for my agency, the two things were DUI or DWI, or for a dangerous felony. What's a dangerous felony? Well, it's a felony, a really big crime that's been committed with either great violence or with a weapon. So knife, gun, so on and so forth. And so we are waiting now for our corporal sergeant of that night to give us permission to pursue. And he said, "All right, we're in, guys. Let's pursue." So with that in mind, I know that this guy is either drunk and or possibly armed and dangerous. I saw the car, I was in pursuit, and boy, I can remember driving so fast that I could feel and hear my vehicle start to chatter as the wheels skipped along the road because I was going so fast. but I was not going to lose this guy, all right? I wanted to catch him. Now, he realized that, you know, his car was fast, and while he could outrun some of our patrol cars, he couldn't outrun all the agencies that he was going to drive through. So he went dark. He turned off all his lights, and he pulled into this big old field, and I still remember it, big old wide open field surrounded by trees and shipping containers. And he thought we didn't see him, but I saw him pull in there. I pulled in very quickly behind him, jumped out of my car, and pulled out one of my most important tools of that night. Can you guess what it was? It was a flashlight. Yes, I love flashlights. As a matter of fact, it's part of my EDC carry. I always carry a few things, a flashlight, a good knife, and a nice firearm, right? Now, my flashlight that night, though, was the most important thing. And so I pulled that thing out. And it was a nice, bright lithium battery LED flashlight. I turned it on, and it lit up that entire field. Did I just blind you guys there? Yeah, she's like, I can't see. Yeah, but I could see everything after I turned that light on. And I was in hot pursuit towards the direction that I thought for sure that guy was running. And all of a sudden, as I was running and that path was lit up, my light started to flicker. And just as quickly as it started to flicker, you guessed it, it went out. And there I was in the black, pitch black darkness. Couldn't see my hand out in front of me with this felony, a felon somewhere in this field hiding, perhaps waiting to lunge on me. Now, I didn't know what this guy's background or history was. I mean, maybe he just got out of prison. He's like, I'm not going back no matter what the cost. And here I am, and I could feel the fear and the vulnerability start to set in when all of a sudden I saw an extra set of blue and red lights. How many of y'all have ever been happy to see blue and red lights coming your way? Typically not, right? It usually means you're getting pulled over. But I was happy that night, and my partner jumped out of his car, and guess what he had with him? A working flashlight, yes! And so he ran out there, and together, me and him, we looked for that guy, and with our light, we were able to find him. And guys, guess what? We found him, and he had burrowed himself under these shipping containers that were just so slightly lifted off the ground. And I had walked right past where he was hiding. That night taught me a few things, reminded me of a few very crucial facts. Light matters. In the dark, in the dangers, someone else's light can make all the difference. And Christian, I came here to tell you, this world is dark. Hell is real. And someone out there is lost in the darkness. And ye are the light. Jesus says, ye are the light of the world. In John 8:12, he says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Listen to me, folks. Your identity is not in your job. Your identity is not in your past. Your identity is not in anything that you own. Your identity is in Jesus Christ. That's right. If you are born again here tonight, you have the light. You are the light. But I got news for you. If you've never made that decision in your life to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, to believe in your heart that Christ rose from the dead for your sins, you're still walking in darkness. You're much like I was that night when my light went out, walking in darkness, walking down a path that will inevitably lead to destruction, death, and hell. That's what missions is about, though. It's about taking the light of Jesus Christ into a dark world. You know, I pray, one of my prayers that I pray so often is, Lord, help me to love others. You know, we live in a world today where it's so easy to stop loving people. People are just hard to love. And any of you that have a job out there where you're dealing with people every day, you're like, yeah, you're right, man. I can't fit them with you. I can't stand them, you know? And I get it. Mick, this guy right here, he gets it too. All you're doing is dealing with people and you're trying to love them. And a lot of times, guys, they don't love you back. But we're still called to love them. What did they do to Jesus Christ? They crucified him. What did they do to Stephen? They stoned him to death. Christ says that we have a cross to bear. And so I'm not telling you that's going to be easy. And everyone you go out there, every door that you knock on and tell them, hey, I want to tell you about Jesus Christ, that they're going to accept you. They're not. But they're still lost. And they still need someone to share the light with them. The devil has permeated into our culture, into our schools, even into many of the so-called Christian churches. But someone needs to be the light. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Folks, the world is watching.
Right.
A lot of, now I grew up in church. I'm a preacher's kid. And some of you who know the reputation of a lot of preacher's kids, you're like, oh boy. They're some of the worst, aren't they? Those preacher's kids, man. Yeah. But you know, a lot of times, I think the white preachers' kids and just people who come to church a lot can end up having a really bad testimonies because they've learned how to just be compliant. They learn how to dress the dress and walk the walk and talk the talk, and they come in and sister and brother and they shake hands and they're nice. But the minute they step out of those doors, their life is different. Step into their workplace, their jokes are dark and evil and wicked. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 3:2, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men.
Yeah.
Philippians 2:15, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Listen, folks, we can't expect to be missionaries, to be witnesses for Christ, if our life is not reflecting the light of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, I love that we go out and door knock and hand out tracts and everything. But the Bible here says that, you know what? You know what the first message that people are going to read is going to be your life.
That's right. Yes, sir.
What does your testimony say about you?
Yeah, that's right.
We're called to be the light. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. What's a bushel? Well, Jesus is saying here, now you're the light. And the purpose of light is to shine, all right? Now, you're not going to light a candle and then get a bucket and put it over that light. That doesn't make sense. But I'm afraid that today a lot of Christians have bushels over their lights.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that? Well, the bushel of lust? What about that? Man, secret sin is a killer. Pornography is devouring the church from inside out. Matthew 5:28, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Ephesians 5:3, but fornication and uncleanness, let it not be once named among you. We live in a world today that is so sexualized. Everything is just sexualized. You know, you go to Walmart and you know, you're just there to buy some, I don't know, a bag of chips or something. It's weird all the things that they sexualize. You know, like why would they put that on there? We look at our schools and all the confusion, all the lust that these kids are dealing with, all the sexual promiscuity and the things that are being shoved down their throat. Listen, folks, there's only two genders, man and a woman. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. That is confusion. That is darkness. And if you hold to that, you're walking in darkness. You know, there's a reason why so many people walk around today and they're so depressed and they're so down. It's because they're walking in darkness.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The bushel of lust. It's a powerful one. What about the bushel of idolatry? In Guyana, they've got these massive Hindu temples. And the Hindus, they worship over 3 million gods. And you know, we see these big old statues as we're driving down the main roadway. And we think to ourselves, now that's an idol, and that's an idol, and that's an idol. But an idol is anything that you put before Christ. Anything that you're giving worship to before Jesus Christ, that is an idol. And Christians, the bushel of idolatry exists for a lot of us. What is coming before Christ in your life? Is it your career? Is it comfort?
Yeah.
Is it entertainment?
Amen.
You know, when we surrender to the to the ministry of being missionaries to Guyana, there were some things that I had to get rid of because it was keeping me from fully surrendering to Christ. Now, I love to ride motorcycles, and I thought, man, I want to keep my motorcycle, I want to keep on riding them. But I had to pay for things. We were on deputation. We're living off of love offerings. And we were just starting out. We didn't have churches scheduled all the time. And some of these things I looked at in my home, even Haley and I, we lived in our house. We bought it the first year we got married. And we could no longer keep our home because I'm not a gambler. And going, you know, full time into deputation, I thought, well, we gotta cut some things out of our lives here. And I could have let those things, though, keep me from serving God in the full capacity. Right. But then they would have become idols.
Yes. Yes.
Now, it might not be stuff for you. Your idol might be something else.
Yeah.
Perhaps your idol is some type of secret sin that's in your life.
Yeah.
That you're letting take precedence before the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps your idol is a bad habit. Maybe you're struggling with alcohol,
uh-huh.
Drugs. America is the most drug nation in the whole world.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about just going out there and smoking some meth or heroin. Prescription drugs.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the doctors, they'll write you a prescription for anything. You want a happy pill? Here it is. Your back hurts? Here, take some of this. Take some of that. Boy, it's terrible. What about the bushel of spiritual coldness? You're in church here tonight. You might not be in rebellion to Christ, but over the years, you've grown cold. Jeremiah 2:5, thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me that ye are gone far from me and are become vain? Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light onto my path. Come on, Christians, have we grown cold?
Yeah, good.
We need to reignite the flame. Yeah. We need to remember our cause, our purpose, and who we are through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Verse 16, let your light so shine before men. Hey, listen, folks, it's not a suggestion. It's a command. It's a command. Christ said, how can you say you love me if you love not your own brothers and sisters who you can see?
Yeah. Right.
That's what missions is about.
Yeah.
It's about sharing the love of Jesus Christ. And we can't do that until we start loving people.
That's right.
That night on patrol, folks, my light wasn't deficient. It wasn't broken. It wasn't malfunctioning because of some really big problem. The reason my light stopped working that night was because the coldness had crept in. You see, lithium batteries are only tolerable to a certain level of coldness, and then it zaps the power out of them, and that light gets dim, or it'll just go out. Has the coldness crept into your life?
That's good.
Let me ask you, Christians. Has your light grown dim? Is there a bushel over your light? If we're going to reach a world out there for Jesus Christ, we got to let our light shine.
Yes.
And like the old Sunday school song, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
That's right.
With every head bowed, every eye closed, would you please stand to your feet with me as we pray? Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for your great love. I thank you for the calling that you've put upon the church to be a light for you in a world of darkness. Lord, I pray that you will be with each and every person here tonight. Whatever their struggle it might be, Lord, that they would just lay it at the altar, lay it at your feet and plead with you, Lord. For we know that your yoke is easy, your burden is light. And Father, would you help us to be a light for you? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.